The Old Testament for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, and you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. In this manner, you shall eat it with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, John 13:1-15. The sermon title is "Jesus Loved Them to the End." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I found out very early in my ministry as a pastor that things are not always what they seem. The man who was everybody's friend was actually harsh toward his children and his wife. The woman who always declared the evils of the bottle and the dice actually frequented the bars and casinos regularly. The pastor who always regaled his congregation with the evils of adultery was actually a visitor of strange beds. You never really know what's in a person's heart unless you live with them all the time. And that is why children know better than anyone else the character of their parents. And this perennial truth is why we know that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus' inner core of disciples who lived with him for 3 years were like his children. And they testified without any debate, any disagreement, that he treated them with real love and kindness all the time. The Apostle John writes in our lesson, verse 1, "When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end." Jesus loved his own disciples in four different ways on Maundy Thursday. First, he washed their feet, as we see in this gospel. Second, he had his last supper with them, as Matthew, Mark, and Luke report. Third, he preached his last sermon to them, which John records in chapters 13 to 17 of his gospel. And fourth, Jesus prayed for them in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he protected them from harm during his arrest. Why is Jesus' love for his disciples important to you? It is because the disciples whom he loved were the Christian church of his day. They were the first church. By showing his love to the disciples, Jesus showed his love to all believers that would follow them. So put yourself tonight in the disciples' shoes and you might feel Jesus' love for you. Now, what about those shoes? Well, they're sandals. They came off for dinner. That was the normal custom, you know. Leave your shoes at the door is the custom in many homes in Cupertino, in this state, where my home church, grade school, and high school are located. And that city is now 63% Asian American. The first thing to do when you enter a home there is to see if there are shoes by the door. And if so, you drop your shoes too. It is an Oriental custom, and it makes sense in many ways. But you know, once you shed your shoes and your socks, especially if it's the end of the day, there's a problem of smelly feet. At least, well, maybe I have smelly feet. And it's hardly appetizing to pull up to a dinner table with the aroma of smelly feet competing for attention, maybe with the soup, the cheese, or the main entree. Now, the rich people at Jesus' time, and maybe the rich today, have servants who can clean the feet for their guests. But the rest of us have to clean our own feet if we want a pleasant dinner, or we just leave our shoes on. So then, why didn't Jesus let everyone clean their own feet? Everybody blows their own noses, right? Everybody washes their own hands, right? Have you ever seen an overprotective mother wiping the nose of her teenage child? The implication there, the reaction of the child, is in most cases total embarrassment. The implication is that he's still a child and cannot take care of himself. Well, maybe she knows that's the case. He is embarrassingly dependent. And Peter had that same reaction of embarrassment when Jesus came to wash his feet. Why was he embarrassed? Well, maybe the question is, why didn't Peter and the apostles wash their own feet when they walked in the door? The fact is, these guys were a partially uncivilized bunch with few good manners. They should have shown better manners for the Passover, if nothing else. Their rudeness and their smelly feet would have been a distraction for our Lord's Last Supper. And that's what he was really preparing them for, and his last sermon to them. So because they had not washed their feet, he did it for them. In some ways, they were still children and embarrassingly dependent upon him. By washing their feet, Jesus was telling his disciples they were still immature. They were still novices. Although grown men and successful in their previous careers, they still had a long ways to go. And they would never, in fact, be his replacement. They would always, throughout their lives, be dependent on Jesus and his teaching. That is what Jesus meant when he said in verse 15 of our text, "Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." With these words, Jesus was preparing the disciples and the Christian church for its change in leadership. The disciples probably thought that Jesus was leaving them and that one of them would take his place. And this was the basis for their argument at the Last Supper about who would be the new leader. This is recorded in Luke 22, 24 to 27. Jesus made clear that his departure was not going to result in a new leader, but a different mode of leadership. The apostles were always going to be students and disciples of Jesus. They would never be his equal. They would never be greater. And nor would any of their successors. Now, how could Jesus lead them if he was absent? He could, and he does lead the church by his real presence and by his words recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Wherever and whenever the Christian church celebrates Jesus' supper, he is really present here in the bread and wine. Jesus never really left the church. If presence is essential to leadership, Jesus still has that attribute. How can Jesus lead the church? Through his words. Well, he gave to the church his words, and they were recorded in the New Testament. And we all have that word common in the Bible, in many translations. He also gave to the church pastors to apply that word to today's issues and challenges and to proclaim it. He did not give pastors to change the word, to add to his word, or subtract from it, or to lead the church in different directions. Jesus still is leading his church when and where the church follows those gifts of word and sacrament, and when they don't change them. This being Maundy Thursday and the remembrance of Jesus' Last Supper, we should remind ourselves of the gifts that he brings in this sacrament. The Small Catechism asks, what is the benefit of this eating and drinking? You might remember the reply, these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Now, these are simple words. Everybody, pretty much anybody that's gone through grade school, knows forgiveness, life, salvation. But they're very complex and rich in meaning and application. And because the teaching of Jesus' Supper is so complex, the Christian church has traditionally required a period of instruction prior to the reception of the sacrament. After the instruction, examination is in order to see if the students understand and believe what Jesus gives in this supper. And when the church, through its elders and pastor, believe that the students comprehend and believe, then they're welcome to the table of the Lord. The Lutheran Church upholds this traditional understanding of the Lord's Supper, as does its Lutheran confessions, and as does this congregation. When you receive the bread and wine this evening, and at other times, remember that Jesus is truly present here, that you eat his divine body and blood, and that as a result of that, you receive the forgiveness of your sins, life, and eternal salvation. May you always earnestly desire to receive these gifts through which Jesus declares his presence and his love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.